We're gonna have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap danced with Danny K.
Christmas Carol Catastrophes. The oddest Christmas songs to ever be unleashed on an unsuspecting public.
And they'll sing, and they'll sing, and they'll sing, 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 sing.
Hey everybody, how about a Christmas carol?
An Old-Fashioned Christmas, Daddy's Home, by Linda Bennett.
Look outside, the snow is falling. What a sight to see. Daddy will be coming home as happy as can be. He'll be walking through the door 10 minutes after nine. 'Cause the bus he takes each night is always right on time. It's gonna be a real old-fashioned Christmas for my children, their daddy and me.
Making spirits bright.
We're sorry to interrupt this program, but a bulletin has just been handed me. There's been a serious accident involving the number 5 bus out of New Haven.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
Hi, I'm Eric Winsenson.
And I'm Eric Paul Johnson.
And what atrocity are you foisting upon our audience today?
I'm foisting Daddy.
Okay, the woke mob may not like this.
Well, maybe the woke mob was in the bus, so we can get away with foisting Daddy coming to everybody.
What are all these toys doing on the floor? What the hell's going on around here? Where's my dinner?
Oh, that not that type of Daddy?
Except for the demanding where's my dinner part, but yeah, the other stuff, yeah.
Yeah, where's my dinner usually took it a little bit too far.
Yeah. And my mom would have thrown his dinner at him or just poured it down his pants and said, there's your dinner.
Yeah. So I listened to this once. I don't feel the need to ever listen to this again. The way you described it last week made it sound like it was some sort of skit. Where was some Hallmark-type broadcast thing, where all of a sudden they start cutting in about a bus accident, and some crazy lady is singing a song about Daddy coming home. Or she's listening to it and talking about Daddy coming home and everything. So I was kind of looking forward to something like that. Oh, boy. Well, this is a huge lump of year-old Christmas cheese. Actually, more than a year-old, almost 50-year-old Christmas cheese.
Yeah.
This is a fruitcake that needs to be re-gifted. I mean, Okay, so I kind of enjoyed it in an oh-my-God-what-the-hell way. I thought it was going to be some comedy skit. I really did. And it turns out to be dead serious. A song with interludes about a bus crash and worrying about Dad. Oh, yeah. And I love the kids. The daughter, who's going to walk me down the aisle?
Who will walk me down the aisle on my wedding day?
Okay. Well, I can understand that. The son. Who's going to buy me toys?
Who is going to buy me toys?
What the hell? You don't get any toys this year, kid.
That's probably the most realist part of this song. Kids are pretty selfish, especially boys.
Exactly.
Wait, Dad's dead?
That's true.
Well, who's going to buy me toys? Certainly not Mommy. Mommy wouldn't work. She's a mommy. Only Daddy's work.
Yeah. Well, Mommy might work, but Dad has a real job.
Yeah.
1970 what? 6?
5.
This one? 5. 1975, yeah. People.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the 1970s, so in case your third wave feminist tendencies are starting to boil to the top, yeah, we're making fun of the situation.
Yes.
Yeah, because I noticed it was on Mercury Records, mm-hmm. which I was going, this got released on a real label.
Yeah.
Not some Christian thing, not some novelty thing. But Mercury Records thought this would be something they should release.
I have so many questions about this song, and that really, I think, kind of starts it off. It is a long chain to go from writing song to getting song pressed on a record and released. I mean, I can understand someone writing this song, and there are people who think that bad ideas are actually good and they really believe in them. This podcast, for instance. So yeah, I can understand some guy writing a song about a bus accident, and then it all turns out okay at the end because daddy's home and he made it alive, and aw, the tears of joy comes down everybody's face. But then you got to sell that song, and somebody thought, yes, we will pay you for this song. And then there are producers, there are studio musicians to hire. Although I suppose with studio musicians, you just put the sheet music in front of them, they go, they get their check. They have no idea and don't even care what the song is about. You guys are paying me? Sure, I'll play whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there are producers, there are record executives. Somewhere along this long chain from conception of idea to release, didn't anybody even stop for a second to say, wait a minute, should we really be making this Christmas record? I mean, I understand it was the mid-70s and I'm sure there were drugs aplenty. And I'm sort of answering this question in my head before I can even say it. Was everybody so bonged out or so coked out that nobody even noticed maybe a song about a bus accident killing 80 people might not be the best Christmas record idea? Or did they think, this is it, this is the one that finally knocks White Christmas off the radio? Bing Crosby is dead now. Long live Linda Bennett and an old-fashioned Christmas Daddy's Home.
I don't know. Somebody had to think this was a good idea. They put effort. It's good production values.
Oh, yeah.
It's schmaltzy.
Yeah.
Production values. I mean, they didn't put her in the four-track studio. They hired musicians. They hired a narrator. They hired somebody who could sing. They hired annoying children, or at least somebody to voice annoying children.
Yeah.
Which, anybody who hires annoying children knows that they should just keep their mouths shut and get back to making shoes. Christmas is coming, kids. Get those shoes made.
Yeah, it was recorded by Linda Bennett, and because of this podcast, I actually had to do some research into this song. And it turns out Linda Bennett had a career. I thought it was a totally studio-produced production. We get studio musicians. Here's their staff studio singer. She'll fit the voice we want for this song, and we'll just bang this out. But it turned out she had a career. She was an actress for many years. Mostly she just had one-offs on a lot of TV series in the 60s and 70s. And she was in a Bob Hope Christmas special. I don't know which one.
I wonder if she sang this.
She did sing this. Linda Bennett.
No, I'm talking about sing this on the Bob Hope special.
God, that may be the only time I ever want to see anything from a Bob Hope special. How did that go over?
I have no idea if that... I wonder if that's in existence someplace.
Bill Smith suggested this song last year, and I don't think I'd ever heard it. If not, I don't remember hearing it. And at first I was like... It's kind of nice. Oh, some little play radio going on. I'm a stone cold fool for any kind of radio thing.
This is your music, news, and weather station, bringing you the best in Christmas music on this beautiful Christmas Eve.
And then the music starts, and this sounds like a commercial for a telephone company in 1975. Complete with the same kind of voice you would hear in one of those schmaltzy telephone commercials from then. And it's got the schmaltzy lyrics, oh, daddy's coming home, it's going to be a wonderful Christmas time. And then the break-in, and there's a bus accident. And it's, what's this coming from? And then those damn kids, they're so sickening, and they're so sickening little voice. And then all of a sudden, another news interruption, and everybody on that bus is dead.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've just been handed the latest report involving bus number 5 out of New Haven. And from all indications, we're sorry to report that there were no survivors.
And I know that Mom is distraught. But when she sings, "Oh my God," I can't help but laugh. Because it just makes me think of an overacting performance in a musical where she puts her arm up on her forehead and swoons, sort of like Ralphie's parents when they find out they made him blind with soap poisoning. Oh my God!
Oh my God, this just can't happen. What am I to do? What have I got left in life to look forward to?
And she sings, "What have I got left to look forward to in life?" I don't know. How about your kids that are standing right there listening to the radio about the bus accident thinking that Daddy's dead? Maybe you should focus your attention on them. I don't know. These are Gen X kids. They're pretty much left on their own by their parents anyway. So.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it ends with Daddy's home. So everything's all right. Nothing bad really happened. Happy Christmas. And it's a wonderful family time. Except for maybe those 70 or 80 families where everybody on the bus died. And we're supposed to just pretend that it's not a big deal because this family right here, it's the happiest Christmas they've ever had.
Yeah. Well, yeah, who's going to buy us presents and who's going to play with us? Oh, how about Uncle Steve? He plays with Mommy when Daddy's not. Anyway.
Stay away from Uncle Steve. So, yeah, this family is happy. Those other 80 families, you know, the people they're related to, some of them could be both Mommy and Daddy on that bus that died. And now there are orphans that are involved. But this family's fine. I'm guessing the message of this song is, tonight, thank God it's them instead of you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is what you should always think.
Yes. When you cheat death just by missing a bus, your first thought should be, whoosh, geez, I'm glad they're dead.
Well, then this is followed up by Final Destination, The Origin.
Yeah.
Where death comes seeking Daddy. And using some Rube Goldberg type system of making sure Daddy meets his demise on Christmas.
Yes. I have an issue with this bus accident. If you're going to create like an overdramatic, oh my God, this is terrible kind of thing, sure, you need something devastating to happen. But this whole bus accident, a bus is a fairly substantial piece of machinery. You could plow one of those things through a storefront and nobody on the bus is going to die. Even the bus driver, if he's belted in, there may be some scratches and bruises, but nobody's leaving that bus in a body bag. It's also a city bus. I'm going to guess, because, you know, it takes the same one every night. It's not a Greyhound bus. So this is a city bus. And even on the clearest streets, they might top out at 25 or 35 because they got to stop at every block. So about every 5 or 10 minutes, they may come close to approaching speed, then they got to stop and slow down. And since this is rush hour, I guess. I don't know why Daddy's coming home at 9 o'clock at night from work, unless he's got like a second shift gig. Or he takes the Phoenix bus system, which will take you 3 hours to go 20 miles. I know.
Yes.
So this is rush hour traffic. So that bus isn't even approaching 25. We're lucky if it's clear in 15 miles an hour with all the backed up traffic and hitting stops and everything. Also, city trees that kind of line the sidewalks, they're not very big. They're usually pretty spindly things. And even if they did plant some like sturdy trees, like, I don't know, an oak or an elm or the mighty Scots pine or whatever, a bus hitting that tree, you should be fine. You're going to damage up the bus. You're going to take out some cars that may be parked on the side of the road. I understand that if people don't jump out of the way fast enough, sure, you're going to have casualties or maybe some deaths on the sidewalk. But I have to wonder if this bus was made of paper and how fast it was going when it hit the ice and careened into a tree that it would send all 80 people launching out of their seats and dying in a huddle mass.
There was a bomb on the bus.
Oh, that's right.
It went under 65 miles per hour.
Of course. And it was rush hour on
crack. And so they didn't mention the bus blew up as well as hitting the tree, because as soon as it went under 65, the bomb went off because Keanu Reeves was still an infant.
He's about my age, so yeah, he's probably about 5 or 6 at the time. So he couldn't save them all.
Exactly. Yeah.
That I would buy much more than a bus hit a city tree. Because unless you plow that thing into a giant petrified redwood, a bus versus a city tree, the only thing that's going to die is that tree.
I mean, Dennis Hopper was in his 30s or 40s by this point. So he was around.
Yeah, and, so he was...
And being able to cause mischief.
So he was getting his bomb practice in.
And I know it's a fictional story, but we're talking Dennis Hopper here. You never know.
Yeah.
They may have just based the entire plot of Speed on something he did as a prank.
That could be. The song also makes me wonder, what is that line between humor and melodrama? I mean, the song is supposed to be serious, but it's got things in it that, well, if Weird Al Yankovic handled it, it would be damn funny. I don't know, is it the delivery? Because even the delivery, if you go all soap opera melodrama, it still can be funny. So I'm just wondering, what is it that makes this serious and not funny?
It's the delivery, it's the sincerity and everything. It makes it so serious, and by making it so serious, that's where I find the humor is... I mean, other than the stupidity of
it.
Well,
yeah.
It's just, they're in there and they're being told, now this is going to be a big emotional Christmas song. And, well, we need to make sure that it's got the gravitas that it needs. So make sure that you put in all of your performances. And then Daddy comes home, and Daddy doesn't sound like somebody who celebrates Christmas.
Well, don't just stand there. Help me with these presents.
I noticed that, too. I was like, wait a minute.
Is Daddy just kind of throwing the kids a bone here because, and Mommy a bone here simply because, well, he married into this family.
Right. Maybe it's like that. I think, what is it?
It's a half and half thing.
Yeah.
No wonder the kids are concerned about those toys. I mean, he's getting best of both worlds here. And he's,
yeah. But, you know, there are some Jewish people who marry Christian people, and they don't really do the Hanukkah. They do the Christmas because, well, Christmas is a superior holiday. It's much more fun, from what I've heard.
Yeah, we're not being anti-Semitic here.
No.
I would have rather got my Star Wars action figures all in one day than a bag of gold coins one day and a clay top the next.
Yeah, Lewis Black, a full-on Jewish person, describes it as a back-to-school holiday.
Hanukkah basically sucks. We get like here's a pen and pencil set. Oh, look, a notebook. Oh, here, an eraser. Hanukkah is a back-to-school holiday, Santa.
That means underwear.
Underwear, socks. So I hear.
But no, that got me at the end. But there was just so much to unpack on this thing.
Yeah.
And so much to then pack away, put it up in the attic,
mm-hmm.
and never think about it again.
Well, I read some snippet from an interview with Linda. I don't know when, and I found it on the internet, so take this as truth or not, that she has no memory of recording the song, and I don't blame her. I would like to block this out from my memory or pretend it never happened if I'm the one whose name is on the label.
6238503375. Call now.
Hello there, Mr. Kringle. Ting-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
Got something to say about the song, the podcast, or have a bad Christmas memory to share? Then leave a message on the voicemail. And if we get enough messages, we'll play and respond to them in the post-Christmas wrap-up episode. You got 3 minutes before it cuts you off.
Come on, children. Santa Claus is on the phone.
Hey, Hap.
Well, hello, Santa. Why, it's Wilcox. Now, what are you doing in that costume, Harlow?
Going to a Christmas party, Hap.
Oh, what's in the sack?
Why, a load of merry motoring. In this box, I've got smoother performance, you see?
Ignition-engineered Autolite spark plug.
Sure, and when you replace worn-out spark plugs with these new Bantam beauties, your car will perform smoother than Santa skidding down a slippery chimney.
And what's in this box, Arlo?
Fast starts, Hap.
Well, these are ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs, too.
You bet. And they're unmatched for quick starts because they're designed by the same Autolite engineers who designed the coil, distributor, and all the other important parts of the complete ignition system for many leading makes of our finest cars. That's why ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs work as a team with your car's ignition system. And that's why they're world famous for quality and dependability.
And I suppose you're giving gas savings in the third box, eh, Harlow?
You guessed it, Hap. So, friends, have your Autolite spark plug dealer replace worn-out spark plugs with ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs. Choose either the standard or resistor type. And remember, you're always right with Autolite.
Christmas Carol Catastrophes is a production of Radio Trolla Entertainment, Assorted Deli Meats Amalgamated. Our theme song was written and recorded by Stephen St. John. Send us an email at christmascatastrophes@gmail.com. Help spread the word by sharing the link on your social networking sites and rate and review the show at Apple Podcasts. Next week, Fire, The Residence.
Merry Christmas, Daddy.